Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today. And more excitement going on the PGA Tour. If you happen to be on the tour and you're playing in Hawaii for the second straight week, as always, if there is any normalcy on the PGA Tour, it is normal that they start the season, the new year, if you will, in Hawaii for two different tournaments. And, of course, last week they had the Tournament of Champions. This week the Sony Open in Honolulu. And it's a good couple weeks for those guys. And it's a good couple weeks for the people back here on the mainland, because even if you're in a cold, not-so-beautiful part of the country, you get to watch it. And at least we get to live through the PGA Tour for a couple of weeks and see some beautiful shots and hopefully some great golf and everything else. So, again, they continue on the tour here at the Sony Open. We've got Steve Johnson, partner with Hank Haney Golf, and doing his own thing right now that we'll talk about coming up in just a little bit. He'll join us. Always got a hot opinion. Steve does. And Frank Bassett in our Nashville studios. Frankie, you've gone through some cold weather. I think the whole country has gone through some cold weather, maybe outside of Miami, in the last 3 or 4 days. You guys recovered? You okay? You didn't have a lot of snow, did you? A little bit of snow?
Yeah, just a touch. I went out and hit some golf balls just to see how I would do, and I shanked a shot, and I called myself a bad word, and I think the Tennessean's going to publish it today. I don't know.
Oh,
ha ha. Well, the police are out, aren't they? Can't say anything, even to yourself. Don't curse yourself, you know. Don't do it.
Yeah.
JT's taking it in chops. We'll talk about that on the show today. It's unbelievable.
Had a little bit of that happen.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. We'll also talk about the Masters, because they made an announcement, although not totally surprising, but they made an announcement that they're going to kind of continue on as they did in the fall for the Masters Championship, with allowing some people onto the grounds,
patrons,
but not nearly as many as
some
they,
patrons, Tim.
As they normally would. People is okay. You
patrons.
Just can't say the F word. F-A-N-S.
Oh.
And so they
I didn't know where we were going there.
That was that F word that they don't like. So, yeah, they're patrons. The people will be there, but in fewer numbers. So everybody who has a ticket, you know, passes, won't be able to necessarily get on. They actually keep that number, as you would imagine, at the Masters. They don't say anything about how many people actually patrons show up every day, and they kind of, but they estimate it's somewhere around 40, 50,000 people on the grounds. Well, they're not going to be near that number, but they will have some people there when it gets kicked off here in April. So,
hope the restaurants are still open by the time we get to it, you know?
I know. We'll see what happens.
I know.
I mentioned Steve Johnson is standing by, and without any further ado, we want to get into Steve's hot opinions on what's going on in the world. He joins us now. Steve, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. It's a little cold here in Dallas, too, boys, so a little frost.
Yep.
But other than that, it looks like it's going to be a nice day in the high 50s, which is nice for January.
Through it.
But
they do say, by the way, the weather is going to get cold at the end of this month. Just so they say there's that vortex.
Really?
Remember that polar vortex a couple years ago? They said it's coming back this year.
Oh,
it
really?
Might go all the way down to the Gulf, like all the way from like the Arctic Circle down through the Gulf to Texas and everything else.
Frozen fish.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Frozen cod.
Thanks. That's something to look forward to.
Wahoo.
Sorry.
Tim, it's time for a little quiz, PGA Tour quiz. What week is this? What tournament number is this for the 2021 season?
7.
Okay. Good guess, Frank.
That's a good
what about you, Tim?
I guess I'll say 8.
It's week number 14. Thank you very much, guys.
Well, is it really?
Week number 14, it's we're well
it started
into
right
the
after the Tour Championship? Wow, 14
Pardon?
Already. Out of about, 44 or so that they actually
well,
have?
Well, I mean, it was,
but
it
some
was
of
kind
them
of
are
switched around. Remember, we had some of the wraparound
weeks.
Season
oh, that's right.
happened before some of the majors. So,
yeah, that's right.
I mean,
that's right.
We've been going for a while now.
Yeah.
You know, starting back at the Safeway, back in Napa, and moving on from there. Another little fun fact for you. Did you know in the 14 events or the 13 events played so far that 5 guys broke at least a 7-year winless drought? Can you name those guys? And I can name them for you. But
Harris English.
Yeah, we got the most recent.
Got that
okay.
one.
Okay.
Your turn, Tim.
A 7-year or more drought for winning?
Yes.
Ryan
Let me
Palmer.
Tell you. Because you'll never get it. You're never going to get it.
Oh, okay.
Stuart Sink.
Thanks for the try, though.
Back at the Safeway, Stuart Sink.
Yeah.
Broke a 7-year. Martin Laird. broke a 7-year winless streak.
Didn't know
Jason Kokrak had never won.
Never won, that's right.
He won.
More than 7-year, yeah.
And then Brian Gay.
BG, yeah.
Yeah,
oh.
So we think the wraparound season is for the young guys to give them a chance to get out there and play before the big guys are out there playing. But, man, we've got a lot of retread out there that are doing well, that are researching.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's been a weird year, if you will, not just calendar year, but year. And we're hoping that we kind of get through the COVID part of it. Steve, that's affected your family. You were just in California, where you're from, San Diego area, and it's hit your family too. So I've had a couple of like niece and a nephew, distant more that have had it. I've known some people that have gotten it before, but it kind of touched your family too. It's very real, and I want to first and foremost say that, as far as my belief in it, that wear your mask, stay distanced, all those things I think is very, very important for us to really get through the hump here. But it has right. touched your family, huh, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, they dropped like dominoes, Tim. We had one of my nephews lives up in L.A., and we got together the day before Christmas on the 24th, and on the 26th, they called us and said, hey, he'd been exposed to someone that tested positive. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I'm the only one that didn't get it, believe it or not. And I may have had it in the past and didn't know it. It was asymptomatic. But, yeah. I mean, it affected almost everybody in my family, especially my mom, who's 86 years old.
Wow.
And, I mean, she doesn't smoke, she doesn't drink, she's in great shape. She does have had a knee replacement about 40 years ago that's probably needs to be redone, but it's what's the use? You know, she's not going to be running any marathons or anything like that. But she got she got sick, she got really weak, and it found, you know, when they talk about other issues too, she had another issue. She had, I mean, it sounds embarrassing, but she had a urinary tract infection that
brutal.
Messed her up worse than the COVID did.
Brutal. My mother-in-law, same thing, Steve, had it. And those are brutal.
So you put that on top and you put the icing on the cake, the COVID. We went to the hospital twice. Because she didn't have pneumonia, they discharged her the first time. 2 days later, they said, bring her in. And she was in. Now she's in. She's doing better. She is never went on. She went on oxygen just a little bit, never on a ventilator. She had a little bit of pneumonia, they thought, but that cleared up. And she's at a skilled nursing facility now, just recouping back, getting her strength back. She wants to go home so bad. And so she'll work hard to get her strength up and to get back home. But I appreciate
her, huh?
I did mention it on the podcast, the Hank Haney podcast, and got a lot of people reached out to me and said, hey man, we're thinking about you. And, I mean, I feel like I'm an RN now though. I mean, I'm like a qualified nurse. So
it's, that stuff's brutal. And they do say that it affects, outside of a urinary UTI, some brain function, some, cognitive issues.
Yes,
so you just don't know. And the UTI is horrible for the bloodstream. I know that from my poor mother-in-law. So our thoughts and prayers are with you, buddy, and your mom.
Hey,
thank
you.
For sure.
Thank you.
Should be okay.
But, we've got bigger fish to fry. Did you have another question about that, Tim? Yeah. I can probably diagnose you over the telephone right now. It sounds like you've got some issues.
Wedge.
I do have some issues.
Wedge.
I got a lot of issues.
Wedge.
Yeah, I got a lot of issues, but it's not going to be COVID-related, I'm thinking, at least right now. We're joined by Steve Johnson, partners with Hank Haney Golf, and you were talking about the podcast, and since you brought up Hank, it made me think of something we definitely wanted to get into, and that is, have either of you been able to watch part one of the Tiger Woods documentary on HBO?
Either you know what? When does that air, Tim?
Well, it came out first
Sunday night.
Sunday of this past week. So we're coming to you the week of, the 13th. And so that Sunday, whatever that was, the 11th or so, is when, 10th or 11th, is when it first came. Two parts, and the first part came out then. I watched it yesterday, actually, and have seen it. So neither one of you have seen it, Frank? You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it.
I have not seen it.
Yeah.
What'd you
so
think?
Give us a little preview.
Synopsis. Yeah, I'll give you a little synopsis of it. It goes all the way back. And I was just wondering if before I get into that, Steve, did either you or Hank get interviewed for this? Because everybody but Tiger, you know, Tiger didn't get along or didn't go along with the people that are doing this. And this is based on, remember, Armin Katayan wrote a book on kind of the life story, if you will. And I don't think Tiger approved of that either, but that was like 5 or 6 years ago. He's a well-known reporter and a Sports Illustrated writer. It's based on his book, and so he's part of this, too, as the executive producer of this. They talked to a lot of people, an awful lot of people, but I was wondering, did either you or Hank get interviewed since you were around
I was not interviewed, but I'd be very, very surprised. I talked to Hank yesterday, and we didn't talk about it. I'd be very surprised if Hank wasn't interviewed. It would be an incomplete documentary if Hank was not interviewed in it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You talk about Tiger not definitely not authorizing this the book nor the HBO special, the documentary, because he is very secretive. I mean, guys that have secrets tend to be very secretive. And I noticed that even when I was around him he didn't really invite too many people in that I know of in to really know who he was. He's always
the inner circle,
protective.
Yeah.
I felt like I had a good relationship with him, but you know, my relationship with him was through Hank. And so when Hank told Tiger he was heading a different direction and Tiger and he were no longer together, I mean, our relationship changed. I mean, it'd still be nice to me at events and stuff like that. But, it changed very quickly.
So the documentary, basically, this first part deals with Tiger basically from birth to right before all the dramatic events happen in his personal life, if you will. Okay, that's kind of what teased the second part of this whole thing. So we take it all the way up to then. So if you look at the first part, it's amazing to me. A lot of things are kind of amazing, but it's amazing how his father, Earl, is a big, big part of this first part of this documentary, and his influence and his domination of Tiger and everything else. And kind of to what you're speaking of there, Steve, he was taught not to really get close. And so they talked to high school girlfriends. He broke up with a high school girlfriend. Then she said, we were in love and we dated for 3 years and all this. And I know it was high school, but she obviously felt a strong connection. He broke up because his dad made him break up. And it was just a letter, basically a letter that he wrote and, you know, on paper and said, hey, we can't see each other anymore. And it's been fine. Good luck with your life. I'm paraphrasing, but that's kind of what it was after 3 years. And his dad was like, you can't interfere with the forwardness of his career. He was destined. And there were cameras everywhere, which again tells you not only was Tiger great and a phenom when he was a kid, but somebody, and I think it was obvious it was his dad, was trying to get all this attention, right? There's a reason there were cameras every time he turned around, every time he got out of a car and got into a golf tournament or something, when there normally wouldn't be. You know, we're talking about 25, 30 years ago when he was even longer than that, when he was 5, 6, 7 years old. So there's a lot of video out there, and there are a lot of interviews with Earl, and Earl is pompous and about Tiger. Tiger was the next coming of Gandhi, and it was almost a quote, going to be bigger than Jordan, all these things. So it talked about the pressures and all the things that went around Tiger during all that time and how good he was, and it showed him coming up and winning the Masters the first year, winning the U.S. Open by 15 shots. It got into a lot of that. Faldo's interviewed in it, old-time guys. But I think the thing that maybe is the most telling is there was an old golf pro that he kind of worked with in that part of Southern California where Tiger grew up, and he worked with Earl, and he also helped Tiger out too. And I can't remember the guy's name, but you'll see it in the documentary. And basically what he said was, unfortunately, we taught him some bad things too. And it talked about Earl's infidelities and that Earl had a Winnebago that he would bring to the practice range. And while Tiger was having lessons with this guy, Earl would be having cocktails with various women in the Winnebago. And use your imagination. And then he even said, this pro, that I went down that same road and I was not faithful to my wife. And he got very emotional and kind of teared up a little bit saying how sorry he was that he and Earl showed Tiger that side of the world that he shouldn't have known at that young of an age, and maybe led to, you can insinuate, what might have happened down the road, part two, right, of what happened with Tiger in his personal life. But took a lot of the blame for that side of showing Tiger something that he shouldn't have been and Tiger going like, okay, why do I see this? Why is my dad not even trying to hide it, and kind of thing. So it digs pretty deep. I mean, and did you get to know Earl at all, Steve? Were you around him much at all?
You know, Tiger had come out to our golf ranch back in the mid 90s with his father. I had seen his father a few times. I was always kind of at arm's length. Never really visited with him much. Hank knew him much better than I did. He shared a lot of things. Hank, I tell you what, Hank had a lot of respect for Earl Woods as a coach. What he had done. And, you know, when you talk about Tiger Woods writing his high school girlfriend a note and breaking up with her, greatness, there's a price to greatness. And that is a very small price to pay for the things that he has done. I mean, we've got a lot of kids that we help and the dream of being Tiger. Hey, Justin Thomas dreamed of being Tiger Woods. And you got to give up something to get something. And, you know, these parents that I see, oh, you know, we want the high school experience and the college experience, and they get kids that graduate from college, and they're still kids. They don't grow up. I mean, that's one of the characteristics of the young people now. I mean, the work ethic and all that is not there. At least it doesn't seem to be there like it used to be there. So, I mean, I don't want to get too much off on a tangent, but I mean, giving up something to get something is just, that's just the way of life. And
no, I don't want to misrepresent that. I totally agree. It was just the fact that they went from, we all break up with high school girlfriends and boyfriends. That happens all the time. I get that's not, and you do have to go on, but it was the coldness. She said he was part of go to her house and be part of it. And it just ended like one day.
Yeah.
We can't talk anymore. I can't see you anymore. It was almost like he was given a directive. You got to stop this now. It's not like you're casual friends with your old girlfriend
right.
and stuff.
Well, Earl was a very persuasive person. He was a good salesperson, and he probably talked to Tiger, and Tiger came to the conclusion that that's what he had to do. Not that Earl would say, "Hey, you got to do it," and because I said so. I know some parents like that. That doesn't sound like Earl Woods to me. Earl Woods is a person that when he was selling you on an idea, he would fully invest in getting you to believe this is what needs to happen in order for me to go to this next level, or me to go, I'm going to be gone all summer. It's probably not fair to this girl. She's going to be waiting at home. I'm going to be traveling all over the country, playing in golf tournaments. And she's going to be sitting at home. It'd probably be best to go ahead and give her her papers right now, and let her be on her way.
Well, it's done in text now. It's done in text now. So you know, Tiger was on the cutting edge.
Well, and to be honest, I'm not trying to just rip on, or I'm not trying to rip on anybody. But the documentary also said his mom was pretty firm about a lot of that stuff too. And one time he came back from Stanford, stayed with her and her family one night. Because he didn't tell his parents he was getting them back till the next day. When they found out, his mom went ballistic, and you know, whatever, this girl's going to ruin, blah blah blah. So, it wasn't just Earl. I mean, I think both of them had this concept that here's what Tiger's going to be, and sure enough, he turned out to be that.
Tiger would tell you that his mom, Coltita, was the tough one. His dad was a pushover. His dad was a teddy bear. And his mom was, she was the authoritarian, and she led the band.
It would be, Frank, I think you should, if you get a chance to watch it, it's again on HBO, and I don't know how many different ways there are to get HBO if you don't have HBO, but it's worth watching because it goes into, I mean, Faldo's, you know, Hall of Famer in his own right. Right. Won a few tournaments, you know, did a few things in golf. And you just listen to some of these guys talk about what a difference this guy was than everybody else that was playing, and how you kind of almost, like Ernie L. said, we're all playing for second place when Tiger's in a tournament. When he came on the scene, and you remember this, Frank, when he came on the scene in 97, 98, it was like a whirlwind. It suddenly, the whole world of golf changed to all eyes, all ears, everything, all the attention was on Tiger. Every camera was on Tiger Woods.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. And I have HBO. I just didn't take the time to watch it. I'm sure it's on. You can watch it again. HBO Max, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, you know, moms. I don't want to stay on this too long, but my mother was pretty tough compared to my dad. I was an only child, like Tiger. And yeah. I'll tell you, moms can be brutal. And if your mom gets mad yeah. at you, it's one. If your dad gets mad at you, you can hash it out with him. Not mom. Mom will tear yeah. you up. So I could see that. So, of course, Steve and Hank, of course, needless to say, were so much more closer to that than we would ever be. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not looking forward to – I'm looking forward to when Tiger endorses one. When something comes out where Tiger's sitting there like Jordan did with a cocktail and a cigar and talks about it as they're showing it in the history. Yeah. That's the one I'm looking forward to. I
will he ever do that, Steve?
Introspection.
I mean, will he ever break down the barriers?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, yeah. he's. You don't really know what it's like. I mean, all three of us have never walked in his shoes one day. I mean, these are tough shoes to walk in. He can't go anywhere without being recognized. I asked him, early on, I said, I thought, what a stupid question. But I said, hey, man, do you enjoy what you're doing? And he says, wow, that's a good question. He says, I enjoy the preparation. I enjoy the competition. But everything else that goes with it, I hate. So, I mean, the media, yeah. Heck, we don't really realize either that, I mean, there were people that didn't like Tiger because of his ethnicity. He had a lot of death threats. I mean, we take for granted the things that he was not the original pioneer, but he was a pioneer in a sport that was dominated by Caucasian guys that were, that typically had pretty nice upbringings. And, right. He kind of broke through and the way he dominated. I mean, some people didn't like it. And
they actually had some good stuff in there. Again, we're talking with Steve Johnson and talking about the Tiger Woods documentary on HBO. They talked with Brian Gumbel about that. He was interviewed quite extensively about being a black athlete and what that meant to the community and his community and what he had to do or what he was being asked to do. And Brian Gumbel said it's a heck of a burden. It's more than just being a superstar and all that, because you're expected to be the next Muhammad Ali and all the other things that go with it. And that may not be your personality. You might want to just go do your thing and not take a stance. They had him on Oprah a number of times and he talked about his, he had a term for it with all the different ethnicities. Can't say that word in his life and all the different. And that came up too about that. He was a lot of different, factors in there, that Native American is part of it and all that. They talk about a lot. I mean, it's like I said, they delve into a lot of that, but certainly him having to be who he is and holding up honor and everything for his black community and his friends right. and things was a big part of it. And he was like, I just don't know. It's so funny to watch him because you look at him now and he certainly is. What is he now, Frank? 40? How old is he? 45? Something like that. 46,
45,
47, yeah.
45.
When he just came out. I mean, what? Remember how skinny he was?
Yeah.
He was when he was
big
at Stanford.
Shirts,
he said he was like
had the big shirts.
He was 165
on
pounds,
and
the shirts were huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was back in the time. So anyway, it really was interesting, and I know you and Hank were a part of that for the whole time, or through certainly a lot of that, and a lot of rewards have come with it too. It showed his yacht. Showed his plane, showed his cars. He's lived a pretty good life through all of that as well.
Yeah.
But there's
but
certainly
I mean,
has
he,
been a
he
price
took,
to pay.
He did take a beating though, and it may come out in the second episode of this documentary, Tim, this HBO documentary. But the thing that really just sticks with me was that his image was so that. He didn't want to make a mistake. He wanted to do it the right way. He wanted to be, I mean, one of the things that he used to talk about was, hey, I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better golfer every day. I want to improve on that. And when when the curtain was pulled back and we saw the real Tiger Woods, we thought, what an absolute fraud this guy is.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
human.
He took it on the chops on that.
You know, yeah. and he's we put him on such a pedestal. My boys would not believe what had happened until they heard him confess it on that press conference when he got in front of the United, you know, the public, his fans, and his mom was there, and Nota Begay was there, and Mark Steinberg was there, and he confessed that what he did, that my boys wouldn't believe it, just because his image was so squeaky clean, and that he hid the real person for so long. And that's kind of what sticks with me, and that, man, what this guy, he really bought into this whole persona of, hey, I want to be better every day in all these different areas, and it was a fraud. It's just
well,
a
we
lie.
We got a lot of that a few years ago when Hank wrote his book, right, Steve? I mean, that came out,
right.
a lot of that personality, a lot of the, and I'm not, and we're not trying to be real critical, but kind of the antisocial part of Tiger, that he was almost awkward, right, around people, and even when Hank was in the middle of coaching him, what was the story he wrote where he'd be in Florida helping him coach, and they'd watch TV or something, and Tiger would go get a popsicle and not ask Hank if he wanted a popsicle or something, like, you know, most people would say, hey, can I get you something, and he wouldn't do it, because it's like he just wasn't taught to do that kind of stuff. He just would worry about himself.
Well, I mean, he took it for granted. It's just like a lot of these superstar athletes that they're catered to so much, and the PGA Tour is no exception. The PGA Tour players are catered to extraordinarily, and Tiger was getting on the plane one time. I remember Mark O'Meara told this story. He was getting on the plane, his private plane, and the flight attendant met him, took his sport coat off, and Mark said, hey, Tiger, how about saying thank you? He didn't even think of it. You know, he didn't think saying thank you. So there's a lot of things that sheltered athletes just have no. They're so sophisticated in some areas and so
lacking.
So immature in other areas. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you see that. You see that all over the place. So anyway, definitely worth watching. Shifting gears, Steve, a little bit. This year, let's say we're 14 tournaments in, but this season on the PGA Tour, anything you're looking forward to? And maybe Bryson DeChambeau stands out again. He's trying to swing 600 miles an hour, I guess, is his goal. And is there anything like that? Do you see another storyline coming out in 2021 that's going to be interesting?
Yeah, big one for me is Jordan Spieth. I mean, I'd love to see him get over the hump. I heard rumors that Butch Harmon is helping him. I hope someone's helping him. He's disappeared. I mean, we don't see him on, and so is Ricky Fowler too, but Jordan Spieth has a long career ahead of him. And sometimes it's over. He's just so talented. Love to see him put it back together I've said it many times. I think that Jordan Spieth is one of the most important U.S. players, contemporary players out there now. I mean, I think he could be the next big ambassador for the game. And just like Tiger made golf cool, I think Jordan Spieth, if he has any type of game at all, he could bring a lot of people to the game. He's that type of personality. He's got a magnetism to him that not a lot of players have. I mean, Justin Thomas doesn't have it. Ricky Fowler doesn't have it. Dustin Johnson doesn't have it. Bryson DeChambeau is goofy enough to have a little bit of it, but I mean, Jordan Spieth is a real deal.
I'm hoping he can
have a decent year.
We feel the same way, don't we, Frank? I mean,
absolutely.
Just, keep waiting for that one breakthrough. You know, just win
absolutely.
A tournament.
He's got the whole package. He is the real deal. We've been around him a lot, and he's just a super individual. I mean, his family and his upbringing, and he does say thank you and yes sir and no sir, and he has all the attributes that you would want to see and a top tier.
And even he's even holding up well through this drought, right? It's well over 3 years without a win, and he's still polite and decent. When you think there'd be a lot of people that would go off and say enough, you know, and you'd get video and interviews with him where he'd walk away because he's tired of the same questions. I get it. You would be, but he hangs in there and he gives the answers. And
you mean,
and it's got to be tough, but.
You mean like Jon Rahm and the spike issue, or what?
You know, there's it's a tough world. He's in a total fishbowl. I get it, but Steve, what I'm curious about is, and it's maybe not to the degree of success and the downside, but you know, you think of some guys like Keegan Bradley, you know, that were right up there, top 10 players. They're winning majors. They're in contention for all the majors. They're Ryder Cup and President's Cup, and then Keegan Bradley, still a very good player, but not nearly what he was, right, 5, 6, 7 years ago. Could Jordan go down that same road and you're kind of just going, wow, whatever happened to that Jordan Spieth guy? I mean, it's possible, I know, but do you expect that could really happen to a guy who won so much so young that he just goes 0 for the next 10 years?
Well, I mean, I hope not, but it certainly could happen. It's funny that you mentioned Keegan Bradley because both Jordan Spieth and Keegan are very quirky in the way they play the game. You know, the talking to the ball and their routines and just the quirkiness of the way they approach the game is very similar. And, I mean, anyone that shows up on the PGA Tour at 21 years old or 22 years old and is looking at the hole from putting cross-handed, left-hand low, looking at the hole inside of 10 feet has issues. And I always was amazed that, wow, this guy, unbelievable that he's putting, that he's got a game at this level that quirky of a technique. I mean, just like it was pioneering. It was Bryson DeChambeau before there was a Bryson DeChambeau. But
so
it
you're
doesn't
saying
seem to be working
you,
out too
know,
well.
We've talked about this before because people never thought that was. I don't think people thought that he was doing that as an alternative because he had yips problems or he couldn't putt regular. But you firmly believe that that he would go left-hand low just as a course of that's the way he liked to putt when he's 12 years old?
I mean, I shouldn't say there's nobody, but I don't know of anyone on the PGA Tour that – and there may be a few. Colt Knowles used to do this, left-hand low. Just because I said, well, do you have the yips? He said, no, why? I said, well – typically, guys that go left-hand low have had the yips. And so he changed it around over time with his teacher, Randy Smith. But, you know, looking at the hole and all that stuff, I mean, he's doing that. I heard in college he had the yips very bad. But, you know, the putting yips were a big part of something he had to overcome to get to the next level. And he figured out a way to get it going. That looking at the hole helped him.
Boy, did he.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, which he doesn't do anymore, does he, Frank? I don't think I've seen him look at the hole for a while.
I have not seen him do that, no. I've not. So, I don't know, you know.
So that kind of fad.
That left-hand low stuff, I tried it. I've never had the yips, but I tried it just for giggles, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't putt that way. So.
I've tried chipping by holding the blade instead of the handle. Steve gave me that recommendation, so
by the way,
that hasn't worked yet either.
How are you doing with your new? How are you doing with your new wedges? Tell me the Vokey wedges are doing good.
The Vokey wedges are doing pretty well. I, in all honesty, I haven't played an awful lot. You know, I kind of got them just several weeks ago, I guess. So I haven't played a lot, probably to do it. But I'm not going to tell you that it solved all my problems. No, they're still the occasion. They look nice and they feel good, and it's definitely a better wedge than what I had before. But I don't know. I might be unfixable, I just have to learn to play with it. I just
nothing of vodka on the rocks before the round won't help.
I have to bunt it around somehow. But like Steve always said, Frank, here's Steve's advice on how to handle it. Don't leave yourself short of the green, right? Hit the green. If I'm on the green from the fairway, my 8 irons and 7 irons and 9, they're fine. And if I can put it on the green, I can putt, I'm okay. It's when I miss that shot and I'm 20 yards short or off to the right or left. So that's Steve's solution.
That's the Tim Fincham right. Play better.
Well, you know, and Nancy Lopez made a Hall of Fame career doing that because she didn't, she wasn't really good on the half shots either. So she laid up for full shots. So that you could go the Nancy Lopez route.
Oh, no, course management. No, don't go there.
Yeah, why would I do that? Yeah.
The tough thing is, right, as you think about going for it on a par five or whatever, and you're like, I can hit this shot, right? I'm 220, but if I hit, maybe the 220 shot, I should just say, okay, let's just hit it within 80 yards, and I get that shot, because the 220 doesn't actually go on the green. I'm driving up to the cart to the ball, I'm like, oh God, what kind of shot am I going to hit?
I got to tell you,
from 20 yards.
I got to tell you, a few weeks ago, I went out to the club. Club Corp, Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club. And the three guys that wanted me to play with them are all aged. Okay, they're all in their middle 70s. Great guy. I mean, good players. These guys are par golfers. But they play from the most forward tees. And so just to speed things up, I said, well, I'll just play from there with you guys. And so anyway, long story short, worst round of golf I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, it's not really that easy when you move up.
No, it changes everything.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And I was, stupid. Well, I sort of said, well, why don't we just tee off with like a five iron here? Or, no, yeah, let's bring that big horse out and try to hit the green. Yeah, wrong. Oh. Terrible. Yeah.
Oh,
terrible.
Man. Hey, can I ask you guys a question before you cut me loose?
No.
Sure.
Go.
I'm serious. I'd really like your honest opinion on this. What do you think of the PGA of America changing the PGA Championship venue on 2022? The taking it off of Trump's
moving
course.
It from the
what are your thoughts on
moving
that?
It from the Trump course? Frank,
you want me? You really want me to go on this?
Yeah. Sure. No,
I think it's bull crap. I think they should go ahead and play it there. A lot of this stuff is going to kind of go away. I mean, maybe not totally, but let's just stop this cancel culture of somebody says something wrong or does something wrong. Now, yes, I know about the Capitol and all that. Okay, I get it. But the PGA of America, in my opinion, and we have a lot of friends there, so I'm probably going to piss a few people off with this statement. But, quit trying they just are scared of their own shadow sometimes. And to get an interview with any of those people, which we've tried to do over the past 2 weeks, it was like calling the Pope. I mean, crickets, nothing. Because of what happened with their COO and that situation, character flaw in that guy, obviously, trying to kill his wife or whatever. I mean, they're just doing things that I think are, I'm going to say it. Is it the AFL-CIO for golf? Come on, guys. Let's take a deep breath and let's try to do the right thing, but not be so. There you go. That's how I feel. I mean, I'm just tired of all of it, to be honest.
Frank took all your time, Tim.
No, I'm out of time.
No.
I just wish politics would. Let's leave it alone.
I was trying to say, Tim. I'm sorry. That's what I was trying to say. Get the politics out.
Yeah, it's enough because we go through Republicans and Democrats and conservatives and liberals, and we always do that, and it comes and goes and back and forth. And are we going to just go by the waves of that 4-year term of what we like or what we don't like? Because, we're talking, these are plans that are being made years and years in advance of courses that he might. I mean, he owns Turnberry, right? He owns a course that's part of the British Open,
the Rota
rotation.
The European Tour, the RNA has steered clear of Turnberry, even though it's considered one of the best venues. For the Open Championship. But I mean, when you look at this, Tim, and you think, okay, who's driving the bus on this deal? And typically, who drives the bus are, the PGA of America has, obviously the final say, but the tournament is put on by sponsors, and the guys that sponsor the PGA Championship are people that sponsor, or companies that sponsor the PGA of America that have big, tight relationships with them, like Cadillac and Chase Sapphire and Gatorade and John Deere and KPMG. I mean, National Car Rental. All these companies, they have to be putting pressure on the PGA of America to say, hey, we're going to pull our sponsorship if you do this, which is absolutely ridiculous. It just doesn't make sense.
It reminds me a little bit too of if you will go back how many years now, 20 years when the Masters was getting a lot of pressure to have women members, right? So how long ago was that, Frank, with Hootie and everything else? Right?
Oh, that's been a while back when the big protest. Yeah. Woman, I can't remember.
So whenever
her name,
it was
a protest,
and they kind of the Masters stood there and said, "Well, we are what we are, and we're a private club, and we're not going to the whole point of the bayonet thing. We're not going to be told what to do." We respect everybody's different opinion. Here's who we are. And so they, if you remember, they freed all their sponsors of any obligation for that 1 year for the tournament. We don't need you. We don't want. So you guys won't feel the heat by the people that want to push it. We won't have any sponsors, right? We have the money to do it. Without the sponsors, we're going to do that. Well, what happened was it slowly just faded away. Next thing you know, well, there's other topics, other things to talk about. And I think people need to look at the world almost like that. Now, you may disagree or agree with what the Masters did at that time, but my point is things evolve, things move on, and what is a hot topic right now, and you're going to jump on the bandwagon, in this case anti-Trump resorts and golf courses, in a year from now, in 6 months from now, in 2 years from now, are people going to care? It's going to be Biden's going to be president. It's going to be a different world that we're in. If something lingers and then maybe you've got to take action, but people that just shoot from the hip because it's the hot thing to do right now,
ready, fire, aim.
The world evolves. The world moves on, and it's not going to be. And so, like, just chill a little bit instead of being this overly reactive world, like Frank said, and the cancel of, okay, there's no forgiveness. There's no let's understand each other. Let's look at each other's different views of, no, you're different than me, then you're out. You're out, and as much as I can push you out, send you to prison, do whatever, I'm going to do it. And you're like, whoa.
I don't know.
People
I don't know of a closet.
People turn that camera on themselves sometimes, too.
Tim, I don't know of a closet, Tim and Steve, I don't know of a closet out there that doesn't have dirt in it somewhere
sure.
in it.
Yeah.
So ye who is without sin. Come on. I mean, it's out of control for me. It's just out of control. And we've got to get some civility back into the world.
Yeah.
Well, see if it happens. We'll see. It'll start with Steve Johnson.
What's that?
It'll start with Steve Johnson. Hey, Steve, tell us a little bit before we let you go. And we are going to let you go, by the way. We're going to send you a letter and break up with you here very shortly.
No, we're not.
Steve, we never want to hear from you again, Steve. Never come to my house. The Golf Ranch. Tell us a little bit about your fancy ranch there in golf facility in Dallas.
Well, you know, about 6 months ago, we opened a place called the Golf Ranch, which it was dedication to our first golf ranch. And it looks a lot like our first golf ranch. It looks like a horse ranch here, but it has a little 9-hole golf course, 270 yards wide of grass practice tee, Frank. I mean, you could hit side to side and it'd still be on the tee. It's unbelievable how much grass we have. It's been kind of a passion project for me it's on the University of Texas at Dallas campus, so we get a lot of the college students. And believe it or not, I mean, there's a lot of golfers in this area that come out and practice. We have about 25 teachers now that teach here.
Good Lord.
And we're putting in the top tracer technology. So, you know, like when you watch TV, Tim, you see the ball go out there and it stays up in the air. It's got the big launch. You can watch your own golf ball do that here.
Oh, Tim. Lord, so, Tim.
Oh, yeah. It'll be a lot of fun. And we have great junior programs. The North Texas PGA hosts tournaments here for juniors. I talked to you, Tim, about doing – I want to do a Masters tournament for the people here in North Dallas, and I want you to be part
Let's
of it.
That.
We want to promote it on your radio shows. And it's just been a lot of fun. Doug Alexander, myself, I think we aged about 20 years in the last 6 months just doing it, but it's been a lot of fun.
I can't wait to get out there
Frank,
and see
you
it. I can't wait.
You can catch Steve on a lot of mornings on the tractor mowing the lawns. Steve's
in fact,
hands on.
Hey,
I've got to do that right now because we had frost this morning, so I got to get out there and get on the mower.
I'll come do that. Remember, I'm from a farm family. I know how to drive real tractors.
Yeah,
big
it's
tractors.
It's fun for about the first 10 minutes, Frank, and then after that,
no.
Yeah, hour 12 gets a little bit old.
Steve, I'd be fine. A pitcher full of Bloody Marys and a headset, and I'm good. Okay. Now I'm not going to guarantee the quality of the mowing, But
yeah.
It's gonna be a little bit crooked. Yeah, by the end of that Bloody Mary, it's gonna be a little bit off center. But hey, Steve, good luck with that. Continued. It's thegolfranch.net, by the way. If people want to check it out, if you're gonna be in the Dallas area, you want to hit some balls or do all the cool things that Steve can
send a video to me too. Golfschools@hankhaney.com. Send a video down the line and tell me what your big miss is, and we'll send you back a little. Golf Talk America will help you with your golf game. Golfschools@hankhaney.com.
Golfschools@hankhaney.com. A down the line video, meaning film it from behind, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. Oh, cool.
And we'll free. You'll touch it up for free, right?
Yes, free.
How cool is that?
You'll give them the advice. Yeah.
Done.
There you go. Yep. Can't beat it. All right, Stevie. Have a great day. Right, get on the mower.
Thanks a
lot. All right. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All the best.
Bye-bye.
Don't call me anymore. All right. Bye. I'm breaking up.
He hung up.
He hung up on me. You don't like to be broken up with.
Hey, look, I have to say, I kind of got a little wound up on the PGA of America. And nothing against those guys. It's a great organization.
Yeah, I know.
They do a lot of good. Yeah, but, you know, it's not that I'm a huge Trump fan or I'm a huge Biden fan or an Obama fan or Clinton or whomever. It's not about that. It's about Well, you know, I'm going to say this. My father used to say this to me. He said, son, one oh shit will wipe out 1,000 attaboys. And that's basically where we are here.
Yeah.
Now, the poop.
A lot of people just want
to. Was pretty bad. I mean, let's face it. It's been a bad week. I mean, I want to retain my right to cancel my free trial on 2021 and move on to 2022 at this point. I mean, I'm ready, but oh my Lord, please don't build a credit card. I'm going to cancel.
Hey, before we say goodbye, Frank, I want to tell you that I got my book. Did you get your book from?
I have mine. Yes.
Who do we have on a couple weeks
the
ago?
The Green Book. The whole show was
the
about
company?
That.
Yeah, but
Golf Logics.
There you go.
Our friends at Golf Logics. Yeah.
I got my.
Have
my
you
green
had
book?
A chance to go so, out and take it on the putting green?
I haven't had a chance. Actually, they sent me two because my Prestonwood Country Club has two different courses.
I told them
the hills and the creek.
I told them.
Yeah,
to.
So they sent me two. And,
Merry Christmas.
But no, I have not had a chance. But boy, they look great. They look.
Oh, it's.
We have that guy back on again,
buddy. It's great. You're gonna love it. Now just take time to work with it before you really, you know, learn how to use it first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you need a little help, give him a call. He said he work with you on it. So, but
it's awesome. And by the way, it's Golf Logics produces these books that you see all the caddies on tour when they're holding it with their players or the players holding it, and they're looking at the greens, and it shows all the different extremely detailed undulations and speed and slowness and whatever of a green, which helps you not only in putting, but as we talked about, also your approach shot, so you know where to hit it or not to hit it, so it doesn't roll off the left side of the green or whatever. Yeah. So. Very, very helpful. So, yeah, I want to get out there, but I wanted to let you know that I got it.
Yeah,
so,
well, good.
I want to get out there and work with it.
I'll call Mary Beth. Mary Beth Lacey does their PR and tell her that, thank her.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Thank all the really folks cool. at Golf Logics. It's really good. And we must thank all of our friends at ClubCorp. ClubCorp.com. Check it out today. You can become a member for a day and go check it out, because if you're a member of one ClubCorp club, you're a member of all of them. You have rights at all of their almost 300 clubs and city clubs, alumni clubs even, around the country. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
And special shout out to all our friends at the French Lick Resort. They've had a tough go this winter. They had to close down a lot of the stuff to, you know, just half occupancy. But they do have the casinos wide open now. The hotels are open. They're rocking and rolling. It's safe. They do a great job on social distancing there. So check out FrenchLick.com also. And I would give a shout out to PXG, but they haven't sent me any clubs yet. So there.
So let's not.
So let's don't do it.
So let's not.
Hey, which Vokies, wedges are you hitting? Which ones? The eights?
I don't
know. SM8s?
Eights. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got the sixes, man. Yeah. I'm two versions behind you. Can you get me some?
No.
Oh, shit.
No.
Okay, fine.
It's not going to help.
It's not going to help.
I'd like to say that the wedges are going to, you know, they're better than the ones I had. I had older
they're good wedges.
They're good wedges.
You just have to make sure that you have the right grind, depending on the course that you're playing and all that kind of good stuff. and fit it and bent.
I'm at the point now where I'm one or two out of 10 times I hit it decently, but eight out of 10, I'm not. And the more you don't, the more you're like, oh God, really?
Well, when's the last time you just gone out with your wedges and practiced?
Pardon me?
When's the last time you took your wedges only and practiced?
Well, like at Steve's facility, I've gone there and hit wedges and hit wedges and hit wedges. And it the difference is that you're counting your score, right? I can hit the shot. I mean, it's not the, like I've worked with Art Sellinger sometimes. I go to his indoor facility. He goes, well, you hit it. You get it. You go right there. That's you got the form. You got the takeaways. I go, I know I can do that, but it doesn't count here. I'm hitting into a net, you know, or I'm hitting, and it's not, no, there's no score.
How is Artie doing?
When I get out on the golf course, somehow I get, he's rehabbing. He had knee.
Yeah,
I can't remember. He had surgery, and he's doing okay. He said this, I talked to him yesterday. He said he's the rehab's going pretty good. He's got a senior tournament. You know, he's back to being an amateur.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's got his status back, and so he's played in a couple. He got a third, actually. He got a, yeah, I know. How would you like to face it?
No, he's an amateur.
Third place.
He's going to change his name to Artemis Gordon. Remember the Wild Wild West? He's going to be Artemis Gordon, and he's going to come play with me with a fake mustache on and my member guest.
Yes, he actually got like third place at the Dixie Amateur.
Really?
The Dixie Amateur.
You're
not sure
change
exactly
the name of
that was, but it sounds like it's in the South somewhere, right? He got a third place in that one. So that was and then right after that, in November, he had a had to have his surgery.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of going through it now, and he's recovering, and he says he's got another tournament coming up that he thinks he'll be ready for, and that'll be coming up in February.
So what about our good friend Stankowski? He's getting ready for the PGA Tour Champions. What's coming up for him? I know two majors this year.
Remember how that got weird because Paul Stankowski, how they because of COVID, when you think of all the different things that happened, they eliminated Q School for the Champions Tour.
Yeah.
So he was going to go. Remember the year before when he when they needed top three went, and he was in third place, and he had a triple or something. He finished triple, double bogey or something like that, and went like six over in the last three or four holes and missed by a shot and got fourth instead of third. God. That's how close he was. And then they eliminated Q School this year. So it's kind of like, nothing's ever guaranteed.
Well, I'll bring those guys
going
up
back after it this
because
year.
They're very frequent guests and on the show, and as is Steve Johnson, and I want to get them back on and get them rocking and rolling with us. So
what we have to do, Frank, is remember with we made a pledge, and I say we, I mean you, to Stanky about helping him with the Colo Guard.
I'm glad you reminded me of that. I'll get on that this afternoon. I'll make the phone call.
You got to call down to Tucson because we'd like to be there and do the show. And he said, hey, if you guys can get me in that tournament. And we know the tournament people, and Frank knows most of those people, and tournament directors and everybody else, and sponsors for the Colo Guard. And he said, I'll be on your show every day.
Oh, well, wait a minute, then. We're not getting him in.
Every show. Well,
I don't know if we can handle Stanky daily.
I'll bring people with me. So, yeah, so we got to do what we can to see if we can get him in there.
If we have Stanky on daily, I mean, just the time it would take for show prep.
It'd be nothing. People don't get that inside joke. Yeah. Show prep, it'd take virtually seconds. Seconds.
What tournament is it this week? What are we talking about? What's going on? I don't know.
It's the Charles Barkley School of Broadcasting.
Get out of here.
Sit down and turn on a microphone. Let's get going. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it. Thanks to Steve Johnson. Remember, go to golfschools@hankhaney.com. Golfschools@hankhaney.com. Send them your video, and they'll give you free advice on what to do to help you get a better shot going. Golfschools@hankhaney.com. So thanks to Steve Johnson. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate it. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.